Being the most perfect Vaishnav, Sri Narada Muni is always willing to do good to others, even to one who curses him. Although Kalakanya, the daughter of Jaim, was refused by Narada Muni, she was given a shelter. Of course, no one could give her shelter, but a Vaishnav gives shelter somewhere to such an unfortunate girl. When Jara, or old age, attacks, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. In one stroke, Narada Muni gave shelter to Kalakanya and counter-attacked the ordinary karmis. If one accepts the instructions of Narada Muni, the ocean of fear, bhaya, can be very quickly removed by the grace of that great Vaishnav. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyant Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Pukadama Yam Dadati Sopatantikam Vanchakaputuru Vyashta Kripa Sindhu Vyare Vacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So now we've been hearing about the daughter of time. Her name is Jara, and sometimes she's also referred to as, it's mentioned here, Kanyaka, which means the daughter of time. Her name is Jara, which means old age. So she's looking for some shelter, but no one wants to give her shelter for obvious reasons. Because anyone who accepts the old age, then mentioned here in the purport, Prabhupada says her old age attacks. When old age attacks, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. So generally no one wants to accept such a wife. You'd be happy to accept such a wife? Knowing that if I accept her, everything will dwindle and deteriorate. So I'm in the material world. First thing that begins to deteriorate is the power of the senses, and especially realized through inability to digest food. It's like the first, you know, stage or first signs of it, usually happening around the age of 25 in Kali Yuga. And then progressively, the other senses become weakened, the sense of sight, all the senses become weak. And because in the material world, the Puranjana, the condition of the entity's happiness, is based on the senses, so then also his happiness dwindles and deteriorates as a result. And because of his inability to enjoy and facilitate enjoyment, then the so-called affection of the near and dear ones also begins to deteriorate and dwindle. This is how old age begins to work on a person. And then as a result of all these misfortune, then such a person loses all enthusiasm in life. Very nicely exemplified by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and especially in his Dainya prayers in Sharanagati, how one loses all spirit. And then that's not the end of it. Then as old age continues to progress, then one gets this very horrible realization that I wasted my life. And this happens generally to everyone. And if you were to talk to old people, they would, if they're honest, they would share some of their regrets. And that is generally the gift that old persons can offer to the younger generation, especially if they're not devotees, is they can share their regrets because they get this stark realization that they wasted their whole life in frivolity and fighting with one another, taking very minor and significant things to be very, very seriously, and that way passing so much of valuable time in their life. And then in their old age, not able to do anything, they get this realization that I wasted my life. And then after that, they get the realization that they can't do anything about it because you can't change the past. As Srila Prabhupada said, the most valuable thing we have is time, because even with, you know, tons and tons of gold, you can't even buy back one moment of time. Therefore, time is the most precious thing. So with this realization that I've wasted my life
as Srila Prahlad Maharaj, he very nicely gives a whole description in the seventh canto of the life of a conditioned soul. How the first 10 years, basically 20 years, is spent in total bewilderment, especially if you go to school, because they help to augment bewilderment. The modern educational system makes sure that everyone comes out a confused fellow. And the secret, the way they do that is by making everyone read so many books, as we've been discussing. And I'm going to keep harping on this point because it's an important point to realize. Bahu shastre, bahu vakke, chitta brahmahe. Sadhya sarana shreshta, nahai nishtay. That they make a person become bookworms, reading tons and tons of books and hearing tons and tons of opinions. And so they become more and more confused. Confused about what? Sadhya sarana shreshta, about the goal of life and the actual means to attain it. And then as we've been oftentimes mentioning, intelligence in the mode of passion means confusion. And generally if passion is not elevated to goodness, then it goes down to ignorance. And the result of ignorant intelligence is coming to the opposite conclusion of the actual reality, as described by Krishna in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So then they come out of school bewildered, and then their conclusions is that there is no God, there is no purpose to religion, and that way their life becomes more and more, they become more and more captivated by material sense objects and go down. And so that way when old age hits them, they get more and more depressed. So Prahlad Maharaj explains, this is the first 20 years of a person's life. You can see it with the kids during the Sunday feast, just how bewildered they look, you know, simply running here and there. Sometimes, I remember one time, Prahlad Narasimha, it cracked me up. He was putting mats onto the prasadam cart, and we were honoring prasad at the table. And then the Dhanaparamrita looked at him and said, Prahlad, what are you doing? You're just doing something. And Prahlad said, yes. Yeah, I'm just doing something, you know. So I always thought that was very funny, you know, because you just call it, you're just doing something? He said, yes, just doing something. He was putting mats on the cart, you know. So like this, if you, of course, Prahlad is a million times more enlightened than most of the young jivas that come to our Sunday feast program. You can see how bewildered they are, just running here and there. And sometimes after their running is over, they don't know what to do. They just stand there for about five, you know, a few minutes, because they're bewildered, you know. It's actually complete bewilderment going on. And then they go to school and they get more bewildered, but in the name of knowledge. So then after they graduate, that's the first 20 years. So then the last 20 years of a life, Prahlad Maharaj goes on to explain that a person is like, again, an infant, you know, having someone that has to take care of him, put on a diaper sometimes, and it's very humiliating. Can you imagine that you need someone to help you go to the bathroom, help you to take a bath, etc.? Very humiliating. That's the last 20 years. And then he says, of course, half the lifetime is spent in just sleeping. Because especially nowadays, a person's, they very much value sleeping. In fact, if you can sleep more, you're considered a very great personality, a mahant, a very great soul. Because just like, who was telling me? I think Gokulnath Prabhu was telling me. Some person that comes to our temple on Sunday, apparently he has the idea that the more you sleep and dream, you can get enlightenment through the dreams. So he sleeps a minimum of 13 hours a day because he thinks he'll get enlightenment through dreaming. So this is obviously called the mode of ignorance, and very hard to break through such conceptions. So this is how, so then you have, if that's half the lifetime and then 40 years in the youth and old age, so that gives you 10 years of actually trying to do something valuable for one's in your life. And then that is bewildered by the various opinions of family members, of media, of scholars and scientists. So then that last 10 years is also wasted in bewilderment and frivolity. So then old age attacks and one starts to realize this. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his prayers that all my so-called learning has turned into a sharp shaft which is stabbing me in the heart with the burning poison of ignorance. So this is the situation of the old age. So in a lot of sense, death is a release, not a punishment. In a lot of ways. And then, of course, the diseases start to affect the body very terribly. you know, arthritis, and the mental diseases are such now, they're so intense now because of spending one's life in sense gratification. So in the old age, the mind is completely weak, and it cannot withstand the onslaught of ignorance in the material world. So all these mental diseases are now popping up in the old age. So this is our joyful material world. So then if Jara comes to you and says, please give me shelter, then who is that foolish person that says, okay, come. No one wants to give shelter to Jara. So this realization is succinctly expressed by Rishabhdev in the statement, Parabhavastavara Bodhijato. Yavana jignasata atmatatvam. Yavan kriyastavara idamano vai karmatmikam yena sharira bhanda. So he describes how a person is a bodhijata, means he's born into ignorance, as we've just described in this little tale of Prahlad Maharaj. So a person is born into ignorance, and that's bad enough. One is born into ignorance. But to, let's say, nourish the ignorance or augment it, he describes Javana jiknasata atmatatvam. Not only are they ignorant, but they are not inquisitive about what is the purpose of their life. In fact, as Gokulananda Prabhu was sharing with us, this atheist Richard Dawkins, when asked the question, what is the purpose of life, he gave the answer, that question does not deserve an answer. So Rishabhdev describes him in the Bhagavatam, Yavana Jignasata Amatatvam. He's born into ignorance. He has no questions about what is the purpose of his life, what is soul, etc. So then what is the result for such person? So Rishabhdev describes Parabhava, their life is defeated. Their life is defeated. And they realize that in the old age especially. So one of the great services, you know, how come they don't share that with us? You know, that actually my life has been defeated. You know, many times they're encouraging, especially the older parents will encourage their children to go to school, get married, get the job, make money, and all these things. They're very, like, encouraging, even though these things never brought them happiness. This is called punam punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chew. You know, it's like saying, you know, my dear son, I chewed it very nicely. Got no happiness, now you also try. And it's foolishness. Just like one devotee I remember told me, he told me that I'm suffering like anything in the Grihastha ashram. And that was nice for me to hear, you know, give me more encouragement in my own brahmacharya attempts. And then he says, but I recommend everyone should try it. And I was like, what type of nonsense person are you, you know? At first I thought you were trying to give me some encouragement in brahmacharya, you know? He said, although you're suffering, I recommend everyone should get that experience. And I remember thinking, Jai. I'll go to the bathroom now. You know, I'll see you later sometime after a few years. So like this, this is called Chewing the Chew program. The family, they didn't get any happiness out of it. And why don't they admit it to us? You know, I remember one of the young men in the congregation, he was explaining to me how his family members are really pushing him for doing the material thing. And I said, why don't you ask them if they got any happiness by doing that? Asked him, and to be honest, so he did. He asked him like a couple of weeks later, he asked them. And they honestly admitted no, and then they're encouraging him to pursue the same path. How come they don't tell us, actually my life has been completely defeated? That would be a great service done to the younger generation so they don't make the same mistakes. Generally, we used to think that old age and wisdom went hand in hand. That's generally therefore when you ask people, do you want to grow old? They used to say no, because the whole conception was by getting older, I become more wise. But actually, old age and Kali Yuga just means you're basically affected by physical and mental decrepitude, and no one wants to have anything to do with you. So then they just throw you in an old age home, keep all your wisdom there. So then when you go to these old age homes, especially, you can see this, how it is very hard to, or let's say they appreciate any amount of affection shown, because now their life has come to a very terrible end. And this is a result of accepting Jara as one's wife or companion. One's life is defeated. And then karmatmikam yena sharira bandha. The desires don't dissipate. Imagine the situation, you know. You have all these desires to be fulfilled, but no facility. Generally, that's what you call insanity. What happens to the mind in an insane situation is that it has too many desires which are beyond the facility they have to fulfill those desires. So when someone keeps meditating on those desires without curbing the mind's tendency to do so, then the mind goes, it cracks, it goes insane. So basically, this is why you see so much mental decrepitude in the old age, because all these desires are still there to be fulfilled, but no facility now to fulfill it. So Prabhupada says, when old age attacks, everyone dwindles and deteriorates. So no one wants to accept. So she was looking for shelter. So she went to Narada Muni. Narada Muni was like, no, thank you. I don't think I'm going to have anything to do with you. and it's being described here in this verse, the word used here is vihita sankalpa, that Jara was disappointed in her determination because Narada Muni had a fully manifest spiritual body. So therefore, Jara was not able to, force herself upon Narada Muni. That's actually coming up in the future verses, how she will imperceptibly just force herself on the living entities. She was not able to do so with Narada Muni because Narada Muni has a fully spiritual body. So this topic is, of course, very hard to understand, how Vaishnava has a fully spiritual body. anyway, in short, not give a full description, but it's described in the fourth chapter of the Anchalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita in a matter of Sanatan Goswami's getting a disease from drinking some or bathing in the Jharikhand forest. He got some boils on his body. Later on, Lord Chaitanya used to go and embrace him, even with all the boils and pus and coming out, and he felt so distraught by that he wanted to commit suicide. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, is antaryami, so he wasn't going to be having that. So he began chastising him in front of, he and Haridas Thakur, trying to make them understand that the Vaishnava's body is fully spiritual. So anyway, in that discussion, what is discussed, one verse is quoted, which is very nice, and Prabhupada is a very nice purport in that regard, from the Bhagavatam, it's like one of the last verses of the Uddhava Gita, Martyoya da chakta samasta karma, nirveditatma vichikirshito me, tatamritatma pratipadyamano, mayatma buyaya chakapativai. So this is a very nice verse. It says, Martyaha means mortals, like us. We're all mortals. Martya means persons who are subjected to death. So when they tyakta samasta karma, when they give up all their fruit of mentality, or you can say fruit of conceptions, because fruit of mentality or activity is based on some misconception of self. When they give up their misconceptions, I'm using that word because that's how Prabhupada is describing in the purport there. Then, and after giving up their misconceptions, nirveditatma, they fully surrender themselves to Krishna. Vichikirshitome, desiring to do something special for Krishna. That's how Prabhupada translates it, or that's how it's translated in the Bhagavatam. I was appreciating that. Desiring to do something special for Krishna. Then, tadamritatvam pratipadyamano. Then such persons will gain immortality or spiritual body. And mayatma buyaya chakalpatevai. And then, because they have a spiritual body, they'll be able to render services unto me directly and pure love of God. So there Srila Prabhupada describes very interestingly that the spiritual body manifests proportionate the degree of surrender to Krishna without misconceptions. Means according to the strength or according to how the proportion of engendering of the spiritual conception of servant of Krishna, then proportionately the spiritual body manifests itself. That means just like, and then an example is given in the Shastras, it says there are certain actions that happen simultaneously. Like when a person laughs, they close their eyes. It was really interesting, these examples given. When a person laughs, the eyes also shut. They happen simultaneously. Or when a person falls asleep, his head goes down. These are the examples that are given, actually. I'm not saying that because it's a Bhagavatam joke or something like that. This is an actual statement that's given in Shastras. When a person When he laughs, his eyes automatically close also. It's like a simultaneous action. Although not when a person sleeps, the head also drops. And when a person incurs debt, then he loses his prestige in the society simultaneously. So these are the examples that are given. So in the same way, when a person is, let's say, abandoning material conceptions and surrendering to Krishna, then proportionally the spiritual body is manifesting as a simultaneous action. And this is also discussed more elaborately in the Rasa Lila section. We're not going to discuss that now. But in the 29th chapter, where it's discussed how the gopis gave up their material bodies made of material gunas and went to dance with Krishna, Rasa dance, in their fully erected spiritual bodies. So there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives this purport, long purport, about how the spiritual body manifests, even in this apparently self-same body. Such examples in the fourth canto, we have Dhruva Maharaj also having a fully erected spiritual body and being able to step on death and go to on the Vaikuntha plane back to the spiritual world. So to the degree we actually surrender means there can't be any misconception of the false egoistic idea of the enjoyer. In other words, it's not just at the time of initiation, I'm a fully surrendered soul. We're probably starting the process of surrender. But real surrender means devoid of the material conception of enjoyer, the Purusha Abhimana. And then to that degree, the spiritual body manifests, and then Krishna will accept service directly. Mayatma bhuyaya chakalpate vai. So Prabhupada comments in the purport that Krishna will not agree to accept service from anyone who has a material conception. So therefore, the process of hearing, we hear in the beginning of the Bhagavatam in chapter 2, how Narada Muni achieved perfection by the process of hearing. Of course, this is a side note, although it's discussed hearing particularly, Jiva Goswami says that is simply representative of all the nine angas of bhakti. So one should not be thinking just by hearing. Other angas are also essential. But it's mentioned there how he achieved this fully manifest spiritual body through the process of hearing. How? Because through the process of hearing, the misconceptions are dissipated. And the desire to serve Krishna without ulterior motives is manifest through hearing. Otherwise, it's not manifest. First of all, material conceptions don't go without hearing process. You know, to getting the conception that I'm the servant is more than just hearing. Because we hear all the time we're serving of Krishna, etc. But then when the objects of enjoyment come in front of our eyes, we are immediately attracted. That means we don't have a spiritual body yet. So Prabhupada discusses how can it be understood that a devotee has a spiritual body. Vaishnava deha pakrita kabunai. The Vaishnava's body is not material. Prakrita kabunai means do not think it is pakrita, it is material. Apakrita deha bhaktera chiranandamai. It is apakrita deha, it is a spiritual body full of spiritual bliss. So Prabhupada said, how can we understand that? Because of their ability to incessantly serve Krishna. Simple as that. Means the ability to incessantly serve Krishna, just like Jara. So Jara cannot attack the fully manifest spiritual body. So we were describing how Jara attacks, right? The deterioration of everything. But you'll find that when Jara apparently seems to be attacking the devotee, then he doesn't lose enthusiasm. Like in the material world, your enthusiasm definitely deteriorates along with the old body. But with the Vaishnava, his enthusiasm expands in the old age. Things which were considered inauspicious in the material body, like the senses deteriorating, that becomes a very nice thing for a Vaishnava in the old age, because we're having such trouble controlling the senses. So old age is helping out by curbing the tendency for material sense gratification. Generally, the affection of the parents deteriorates on the material platform, which is a cause of suffering. But for a devotee, that's kind of good, you know. Especially if your parents are non-devotees, it's very helpful that they lose the material affection is removed. Because that is one of the major hurdles in focusing on our Christian consciousness. Too much attachment on the material platform, especially the family. Family is one of the most intense types of affections in the material world. Probably speaking, next to sex life, family life is the most strong impediment, represented by Bhishma. At least I heard like this in the Mahabharata. So Bhishma, you saw, was one of the last people to go, you know. In other words, family attachment is very strong. Therefore, Krishna says those who can actually give it up to serve him is very extraordinary. There is no need to look for a deeper meaning. That is deep enough. Sometimes we try to look for a deeper meaning so we don't have to accept the reality of giving up the attachment to the family. But that is deep enough if you can actually do it. It's a very difficult thing. Anyway, so I'm not trying to make politics or anything. I'm just saying sometimes devotees, they want to find the deeper essence of the verse. Because that way you don't have to actually consider what the verse is saying, and you can be satisfied in your material attachments. So actually, so these things, jada, which deteriorates many things, which would ordinarily be a source of despondency for those in the material platform, for those who have manifested the spiritual body, it becomes a source of great happiness. So they said, chitanandamoy, their bodies are always full of spiritual bliss, spiritual body, spiritual mind. And they can still, and Prabhupada will, of course, explain this later on, they can do extraordinary things, even in their so-called old age. They're actually not being affected by old age because they have a fully manifest spiritual body. The reason it appears that they're being affected by the old age, like someone may say, well, Srila Prabhupada looks kind of old when he left his body and so on. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out three reasons how the devotee is actually not being affected by jara, but why Krishna is apparently imposing those conditions upon a devotee is because for three reasons. Reason number one, to augment the devotee's desire to attain him. This is reason number one, because it would facilitate the intensity of desire to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, especially for a devotee. In our youth, especially as young sadhakas, we are very frivolous, and very minor things are so important for us. But as you can see time really starting to make its way on you, then you get inspiration. Let me get serious about Krishna consciousness. Of course, that's for sadhakas, but for perfected souls, it just gives an impetus for serving Krishna, like a udipana. The second reason he gives is to protect the opinions of materialistic persons who are used to seeing the body deteriorate and so on, or the gyanis who think karmas are fructifying the body. So in order to protect their opinions, because Krishna has to help everyone. If you want to be atheist, Krishna has to assist you also. So therefore he does a pastime where it appears that he left his body, so that the atheist would say, see, Krishna's left his body, so I don't have to worship him. So Krishna is very kind in that he's assisting everyone in their conceptions. That is mentioned in the Gita also. I forgot the verse though. I think yo yam yam tanum bhakta shadayachitum ichati, that it is Krishna who is directing the faith of persons toward their various materialistic devatas, etc. So to protect the opinions of others. And the third reason he gives is to protect the confidentiality of a devotee's position. As we hear from the Bhagavad Gita, the most confidential knowledge is knowledge of pure devotion to Krishna, and because devotees are the what's called the ashraya vigraha, the shelter of such pure devotion. So they also are one of the, let's say, constituents of the most confidential knowledge. So Krishna wants to protect the confidentiality of the devotee's position from envious persons. So in this way, a devotee appears to be going through the same types of experiences. So if anyone hears, so here is being mentioned how Narada Muni is giving shelter to, or directing Jara to take shelter of Bhaya, fear, as our husband. So the relationship between old age and fear is now being described. Obviously, the fear is that I wasted my life and what's going to happen to me. Because although having heard many materialistic philosophies, they say there's no atheist in the foxhole. There's a saying like that, I think. There's no atheist in the foxhole. I think even Chandramali Maharaj describes his own life story where he was like atheistic, and his plane was crashing in Vietnam or something. And he said, if I survived this, I'll definitely search you out, God, if you're there. And he survived. So then immediately he kept to his word and he searched out the Supreme Lord. So they say like that there's no atheist in the foxhole. So even though a person may have heard a lot of materialistic philosophy and tried to negate the fact that their souls and God, finally at old age that intuition comes in, that there's more to me than what meets the eye. And therefore a person becomes afraid, what's going to happen to me at the old age? What's going to be my position? So if we want to cross over the ocean of fear, then Prabhupada is suggesting here, suggestion means an instruction, that we focus our life's attention on the instructions and character of Srila Narada Muni and his Guru Parampara. The word here is Yavana Ishwaram, the king of the Yavanas. So in the upcoming verses, we're going to hear about the Yavana class of persons and how we want to be those who are Yavanas. Yavanas means any person who didn't get any spiritual training. Prabhupada says there's no limitation to this word. I could have really appreciated that, because generally Yavana was like thought of to be like an American, or, you know, you're a Malecha because you're born in this type of body. Prabhupada said there is no limitations to these words. Yeah? Anyone who was not spiritually trained, they're called as Yavana and Malecha. So basically speaking, most of us who weren't born in devotee families, you know, we qualify, you know, Yavana and Malechas. Just like sometimes devotees, women, they get upset when they read that statement in Gita where it says less intelligent persons like the women and the Shudras and the Vaishyas and so on. So they said, why are you discriminating against women? I said, we are also in the list. Nah, Shudra. We also made the list. You know, there is no discrimination. Everyone made the list only, you know. So there is no discrimination. So for those who are Yavanas, Malechas, very low born, there's a nice verse in this regard. Te vaivadanti atitaranti cha deva mayam. Shri Shudra huna shubara apipapa jiva. Yeah, I quote this verse a lot because it's a really cool verse. It's a beautiful verse. It describes that those who are stri, women, shudra, huna, shabara, Prabhupada says means Siberians or Mongolians, or lowborn, in other words. And apipapa jiva, all of the above, okay, in Kali Yuga. So don't feel like you're being discriminated against. Apipapa jiva means everyone made the list, so don't feel bad, you know. A few names were given, and then apipapa jiva and other such sinful jivas. That means anyone who took birth in Kali Yuga. So no one should be under illusion. You know, just like sometimes some person said, I'm a brahmana. And I always like to point out to them, in the Varaha Purana, is mentioned that the Rakshasas take birth in Brahmin families. Rakshasa means demon, you know, so you're not very special. You know, I can understand what you were in your last life. Rakshasyam asuram chaiva prakritam mohinam shrita. You know, demon. So no one, you know, is special in Kali Yuga. If you were special, why you take birth in Kali Yuga? Oh, I came for assisting Lord Chaitanya's movement. Okay. You know, exalted Mahant, you know, Mahant, great soul. If you weren't born to assist Lord Chaitanya's movement, then we're a pipapa jiva. We're in the sinful category. Therefore, we shouldn't be going around fronting like we're some big, big exalted preachers and all these things, which we have tendency to do, because we learned the Dehi no smiyata, Dehi verse, and a couple of others. And then we go and try to lord over the conditioned souls, thinking we're better than them. We are not better. We are papa jivas, you know. We should tell them, just like you're a papa jiva, I am also a papa jiva, so together we are friends. We should not try to lord it over, thinking that we are some great exalted personalities. Because if we were, why did we take birth in Kali Yuga? Not obviously we weren't, you know, by our activities in our youth, we can understand it was not to assist our Chaitanya in this transcendental Sankirtan movement. That was due to the mercy of great souls that we're getting this opportunity. So therefore, those who are low-born, like majority of us may be getting the realization that, yeah, I'm part of the Papa Jiva category, then te vaivadanti atitaranti cha deva mayam, to cross over the ocean of fear. Deva mayam, that's being mentioned here. We can be protected from the ocean of fear. To cross over the ocean of fear, then what is the recommendation? The recommendation is yadi abhuta krama parayana shila shiksha. The recommendation, the Lord has called this abhuta krama, one who does wonderful activities. Huh? Parayana, abhutakrama parayana means those who take shelter of that personality who does wonderful activities, the devotees. Then the recommendation is dedicate your consciousness, your attention to the Shila Shiksha of such devotees. They dedicate your consciousness to their instructions and to their character. And a nice last line says, Tiryagjana, even for those who are birds and beasts. Of course, you may be wondering how that's possible, but if you look in the 11th canto, when they say the animals, they mean persons like the Varuna race of people, like the monkeys, and Gajendra, like the elephants. So not just like, you know, the pig on the street or something like that, you know. Even they have animal bodies, it's described how they were uplifted by devotee association in 11th canto. So Tiryagjana, Apikim Shruta Dharyana, that even the animals, they can also be able to cross over the ocean of fear by the same process. So Shruta Dharyana, so then what to speak of those who are actually interested in hearing about such person? If even the animals who are basically more or less disinterested, if they somehow they can get, grab hold of an instruction, etc., and cross over the ocean of fear, so what to speak of those who are actually dedicated their lives to such a process? So Prabhupada is recommending for us that that is the way to be freed from the effects of jara and manifest the spiritual body by which we will never, our enthusiasm, our happiness will never know deterioration, will never know decay. So that is the recommendation. Otherwise, as described in the beginning of the discussion, old age is a very sad and fearful situation. So don't delay, start today, or as soon as possible, for the benefit of our souls. So anyone wants to add anything or ask anything? There's no question of artificially understanding. You must understand. There's no thing like artificially understand. Artificial understanding means duplicity. If I'm only artificially understanding the instruction of Guru, it means I'm not going to be following them because it is artificial understanding. And there's an essential necessity for realization. Human form of life meant for self-realization. Realization means realization. We have to get realization. So how do we get realization? As we were reading in the Ishvapanishad yesterday, the devotee understands all these things by hearing from the guru, and he realizes it by following the regulative principles. So you may be thinking four regulative principles, but try to keep in mind there are 64 regulative principles, not four. 64, you know, four plus a six in front, 64 regulative principles as described in the Nectar of Devotion, which includes all the various angas of bhakti, which includes the five most potent forms, angas of bhakti, panchanga bhakti, consisting of sadhu sangha, bhagavat shravan, worship of the deity, shri murtaya sevya, with faith, shraddha. And what are the other ones? Harinam, of course. And did I get all that? Dham, dhamvas, living in the dham, like a temple. And by these five most potent angas of bhakti, if done even without faith, but done offenselessly, can instill realization in the individual. So there is no question of artificial understanding. There must be realization. Otherwise, we're on the material platform. Realization means your activities change. Just like someone may say, smoking is miserable. But unless they really realize that, they go on smoking, you know. While they're smoking, they're telling you it's miserable. Or sometimes we meet them on book distribution, we say, that will kill you. And they say, I know. This is a sheer foolishness. It is like, I remember when I first started going to Northwestern University, and I was telling students about the four regs. So I was saying no drinking. And I said, no drinking because it kills brain substance, it kills brain tissues, all these things. So it causes brain damage. That was the argument I was giving. You know, you should not drink also because it causes brain damage. And one of the PhD students, permanent head damage, PhD, he had the audacity to tell me that Prabhuji, not so much brain damage. And then I said, but brain damage, you know, try to understand, Mr. PhD, you know, little brain damage or a lot, brain damage, you know. But he couldn't understand because he was attached, of course, to sense gratification. So obviously, they can say, I understand it causes brain damage, but artificial understanding, so they're drinking. So there is no question of artificial understanding. We must realize. So yeah, we're young and we don't have realization, so we should be a little bit fearful. I mean, a healthy fear in Krishna consciousness is useful for advancing. Even Prahlad Maharaj speaks about being afraid of the material energy in chapter 10 of the 7th canto. He tells Narsingadev, you know, straight up that I'm afraid of the material nature. You know, this is scary. It's not a joke. And what is the great, you know, the danger at every step, and you can die and all these things, that is certainly fearful, no doubt. But what is more fearful than all these things? You know, when Krishna describes Daivyesha Guna Mayi, Mama Maya Dharatayas, we were mentioning the other day, the modes of nature manifest in the mind as the various conceptions of I am mine, as described by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. So this is the most dangerous thing, that my conceptions are not abating, or misconceptions. You know, that the body is getting older and all these things, fine. You know, that anyway happened. But if the misconceptions don't go, I'm still working with the same conceptions that I had 20 years ago, then it might be healthy to become a little bit afraid and get a little bit more serious. There's no question of artificial understanding. So, of course, we have plenty of Udipanas in the association of devotees. The deity, Bhagavad Shravan, Harinam, Dambas, and what is the other one I'm missing? Sadhu Sangha, did I already mention that one? So there is no dearth of Udipanas in the association of devotees. Every vibration a devotee speaks is an Udipana from one who has proper receptivity. Every word coming out of a devotee's mouth is Udipana, is a source of inspiration for serving Krishna more and more and more. So if we're not finding it to be Udipana, probably because we're not hearing with proper receptivity. And as a result of not hearing with proper receptivity, not getting any realizations. You know, so we should not, there's an absolute must. We must realize, you know, what is karma, what is kala, what is Ishvara, what is jiva, what is Prakriti. Must. There is no, like Mahavishnu, critical. This is critical. I used to love it when he would do that. I would get really fired up. This is critical. And so we're in the mood of Mahavishnu, critical. We must get realization. Otherwise, what is the use of the whole affair? If we're going on and on in our Krishna consciousness and no realization, I would, like we were discussing Ishtapanishad yesterday, it'd be a very sad day if I'm going to my Guru Maharaj or to my mentor with the same complaints as the bungling neophyte who just came a week ago, you know, with the same complaint. That'd be a very sad affair, very embarrassing. You know, you go to the Guru and you give me some complaint. He said, I just heard it from this guy that came a week ago. Same thing. You've been 20 years in the movement. Let us, you know, let that day not come. So, of course, I remember hearing one time that Prabhupada said this. I don't know if Prabhupada said this. I didn't read it anywhere. But apparently it was told, at least it was told by this devotee, that the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's mission was to give the realization of a 90-year-old man to a young man. And I remember that made some scar in my mind. I heard it like in the very beginning of my Krishna consciousness, that was the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's movement, to give the realization of an old man to a young man. And that way, give him the udipana to take his life seriously in the service of Krishna. So there is no question of artificial. We must realize. You wanted to say something? No.
Hare Krishna. So what is Udipana?
It means, basically means an impetus. We hear these words in Nectar of Devotion. So Udipana refers to something which excites a devotee's, the technical language is Daiba, but it excites his service mood towards Krishna. His particular service mood is called sthayi bhav. Then an udipana is that which gives excitement to that and to that service. It has two divisions, alambana. There's two divisions, right? Alambana and udipana, right? Alambana and udipana. So then after that is discussed, the next chapter is called Krishna's qualities. So all of Krishna's qualities are Udipinas for a devotee's service. But then, as one makes more advancement, everything becomes an Udipina because they're getting a love of God. So wherever they go, they're getting inspiration for Krishna's service, whatever they're seeing. A flower becomes an Udipina. Oh, this flower reminds me of Krishna. Or this flower can be offered to Krishna, like that. So it refers to that which gives impetus, basically, impetus to a devotee's service mood. Stayiba.
What is this receptivity one must have?
What is the receptivity? Well, in one word, service attitude. Atashi Krishna Namandi Namba Vegrahim Indriyai Seva Mukha Jihwado Swayameva Svaratya Daha. Svaratya Daha means when Krishna will manifest himself, will reveal himself. You know, all the vibrations coming from a pure devotee is transcendental sound vibrations, non-different from the spiritual world, non-different from Krishna. Golokera Premadan Harinam Sankirtan. The Sankirtan is the gift of Golok. So the spiritual vibrations coming from a pure devotee is Krishna. So receiving Krishna means receiving transcendence. So the blunt material senses don't have the ability to understand transcendence. Atashi Krishna Namadi Namavegraham Indriyai means there's no ability to understand transcendence. So you hear the transcendental sound vibrations, you think nothing interesting is being told. So boring. He's boring. The message he's speaking is boring. Krishna must be boring, therefore I'll not go to Krishna. Because trying to understand what the material sense is. So what is the recommendation? Sevan Mukh. We have to become Sevan Mukh, means having strength and service attitude. Beginning with the tongue, especially chanting Hare Krishna, always speaking Krishna Katha. Not chanting Hare Krishna and then after chanting Hare Krishna speaking Prajalpa. So it begins with the tongue, and that means the whole day should be filled with vibrations of Krishna. And Krishna, seeing that determination, can understand the seva mukha of that particular jiva. And then, according to his kind dispensation upon us, then he will choose to give that realization. In other words, the service attitude is what gives receptivity to transcendence. If we don't have seva mukha, if we're either hell-bent, grihavratanam, to remain on the material platform, or we're just not having sufficient determination to give up our anarthas, like speaking excessive prajalpa or prajalpa at all, then Krishna may not be able to understand if we're really serious or not about the actual goal of our life. And therefore, the Kripa Shakti may not help us out. Just like in the Dhammadhar Lila, we're hearing how Kripa Shakti helped Mother Yasoda out, seeing her determination to serve Krishna by binding him. So that determination to all the time manifest service attitude, in the form, of course, in the form of rendering whatever service is required, but especially in the form of the vibrations we choose to keep on our tongue, because that's the hardest thing to regulate, is the tongue. It says if you can subdue the tongue, you can subdue all the other senses and direct them in the way you want them to go. So when Krishna sees that determination, I think the term we use is bhakti nishtha in that class we were hearing from Maharaj, bhakti nishtha, I think. Then Krishna's Kripa Shakti will feel kind upon, oh, they're so determined, let me help them out. And when Kripa Shakti manifests, then we can receive very ecstatic realizations. Okay.
When thinking about the tongue, I wonder about thoughts. Does the tongue include thoughts?
Yeah, there's that inner speech that is always a source of misery for the conditioned souls. But of course, it refers to especially what we're speaking, because that impacts the sound vibrations that's going on in the mind. Therefore, vacho vegam is mentioned first, and then manasa vegam is mentioned afterwards. Control the tongue, which also means control what you're hearing from other people's tongues. Then what the vibrations that will be going on in the mind will be of the same category. So it's like if you hear about some faults of a devotee, for example, then that's a vibration that goes on in the mind. The mind will keep saying, don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that? And it doesn't abate. So we have to protect the vibrations we choose to speak and choose to hear. So this is probably most difficult tapo divyam for the sadhaka is controlling the tongue. At least in my experience, that's what we have. I definitely have the hardest time with, because we want to speak, and if we don't have sufficient strength in Krishna consciousness, then we speak all nonsense.
Hare Krishna, that regarding that you said like the association of devotees, the how importance of the association devotee, it is mentioned that in Prahlad Maharaj, he speaks like there's a nice verse, Mahiyasa Padorajam Abhishekam. That nice word, that sentence. And Niskanchanam na brunati Yavet.
Yavet.
Yeah. There he says, unless you smear your body with that dust of lotus feet of pure Vaishnava, it is not possible to attach with Krishna, to approach Krishna. So, how much that means, how much humility we have to accept. And also, there is another thing that Sariya Vaishnava Seva Nistar Paiche Keva means who has got elevation without the serving.
I have a question about that. Do you know which prayer of Narottam Das Thakur that comes in? Because I've been looking for it and looking for it and looking for it. I can't find it.
Say again?
Which prayer of Narottam Das Thakur does that line come in? It's a statement of Narottam Das Thakur, right? So you know which prayer it comes from? I was looking for it, and it's not in the Vaishnava song book. Maybe I missed it. I looked for it so many times, though. Yeah, I looked through all the parts in the prayers also, but I couldn't find it. So obviously, defect of the senses. So if someone can help me find out which prayer that statement comes, because Prabhupada mentions that statement a lot. So anyway, sorry. I was just wondering, because that's a very nice statement, and I was looking for the prayer. You were always studying Pratina. No, okay. I heard like that at least. Okay, so you want to say something final? Oh, Jitendra Prabhu. Final thing. It's time to close out the discussion.
When you were relating the 90-year-old man trying to enlighten the young man, I was reading in What is the Difficulty, Sutakirti's book, and he said that Prabhupada was saying to him, I forget the context, but he says, it'll take you to your 80 years old before you can become intelligent.
No, that was actually a joke.
Okay.
Because he was ordering Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada used to tell him that after you put the oil in your hand, put the top back on the oil so it doesn't spill. And he didn't do it, so he spilled it, and it came over. And Prabhupada said, you'll be intelligent when you're 80, So he said it really heavy. So he was having a really heavy heart about this, and it's like, man, how do I reconcile, with Srila Prabhupada? So then he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, at least I'll be intelligent when I made it, by your mercy. And Prabhupada started laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. And Prabhupada said, that was a joke we used to tell each other when we were kids. That if you did anything like foolish, we would say, you will be intelligent when you're 80. So he wasn't chastising, he was like kind of just chiding him a little bit, but joking with him. So when he said, Prabhupada, at least I'll be intelligent when I was 80, Prabhupada was just laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing. If you said that to an American, though, those are fighting words. Like, we don't joke like that as kids. You'll be intelligent when you're 80. So the Indian joke, I guess. Okay. So you wanted to say something final?
So sometimes I manage to have somewhat of a service attitude.
Jai.
And then something happens, and it's like, I think this must be Maya's covering potency. And the reason why I wasn't so, demanding that I ask this question, I guess I just was thinking that the answer might be in NOI verses 2 and 3, how to kind of keep the service attitude going without getting pulled under. or if you have other things to share.
How to
keep
the server's attitude strong,
intense,
without anyway, by devotional service, progressing from Adaushada to Prema Bhakti. That is the real answer. There's not Bhajana Kriya, of course, is the essential element. Bhajan, we have to be strong in bhajan. Strength in bhajan comes from sadhu sangha. As we mentioned in the class, focusing our dedicating our energies to the instruction and character of the spiritual master. And yes, NOI, beginning with sense control. It is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in regards to the deliverance of the prostitute by Haridas Thakur. In that section, it's described after Haridas Thakur gave her the instructions of chanting three lakh of nam, and he also advised her to eat frugally, for example. And the reason was given also that by doing so, by controlling the tongue, all the other senses would come under control. And then by controlling the senses, then prema will arise. Because the reason is, as we know, the diametric opposite of pure love of God is lust. So then when the senses are lusty, there's no room for prema to manifest itself. So Haridas Thakur gave the instruction that by controlling the senses, and of course continuing your Harinam rut and progressing through the various stages of devotional service, then prema will be able to arise. So anyway, the answer is we just have to make progress through the various stages. And we should not be discouraged every time we see our sense gratification thing is coming out. As I always mention that verse from the Uddhava Gita, my devotee should remain happy. Even though he's doing sense gratification, he repents that this is not what I want to be doing, but because of the bad habit over many lifetimes we're doing. So he should continue to remain happy. Shraddhalur dridha nishchaya, remain faithful and determined to progress to the perfectional stage. So there's no question of discouragement in Christian consciousness. Especially here, things are very, I mean, if you were living here in the beginning when I was living here, then I would see that your, you know, people's questions have some validity. Now people are coming in my room complaining about this and complaining about that. I'm like, give me a break here, you know. You don't know what is misery. Well, you're knowing what is misery to a large degree in the Brahmacharya Ashram. So now things are very nice by the grace of Srila Prabhupada Maharaj and the leadership here. There is no question of despondency unless you're just a rascal. Then you might be despondent if you're a nonsense. But if you're not a nonsense, if you're not a rascal, then there is complete happiness available here. And happiness is expanding in the form of more and more devotees showing up out of nowhere, either wanting to join the ashram or join the congregation. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. What does Anandam Buddhivardhanam mean? It means more devotees are coming. Huh? Because in order for Krishna's happiness to expand, more jivas have to come participate with him. So the Anandam Buddhivardhanam means more devotees are coming. That means the happiness is expanding. Although we have the tendency to think that it's decreasing because more people are coming. We have the tendency to think that because then you got to take care of all these things. But actually, the reason I say that is because when I was in Chowpatty, when I went in 2007, devotees were sharing like that in the beginning it was so nice because it was very intimate. Radha Maharaj would be instructing them. And so then all of a sudden, devotees expanded like anything. So I used to do this program called the Pune Yatra. They still do. The Pune Yatra, which is like this program, this big house of one of Maharaj's disciples, is huge house, completely empty, because he just holds programs for the devotees there. Anyway, so in the beginning, this Pune Yatra used to just be with like 20 devotees. And when I was there in 2007, it was like 3,000 devotees, or 4,000, like some huge number, you know? So the devotees went to Maharaj. I think Govindpur was telling this, and he had mentioned that Maharaj, it used to be so intimate, you know, the Pune Yatra. And apparently Maharaj told him, he says, it has become even more intimate. Because intimacy means, as mentioned in 126 Bhagavatam, the greatest form of intimacy is based on service. So Maharaj made the comment to him that it's become even more intimate now that there are 3,000 persons here. So Govindpur was stressing to us, he said, what is Maharaj's consciousness? We were all complaining that it is not intimate. And he was giving us the opposite idea. It's become more intimate because so many people have come. So anyway, my point is that we have no reason to be discouraged. Our anarthas will be there until we, you know, come to the stage of anarthanivritti. There's a difference between the categorical attainment of anarthanivritti and then going through the process of clearing out anarthas. So when we attain anarthanivritti stage, that means anarthas are gone and we come to the threshold of nishtha, then things become really more and more blissful. But they're blissful now. Even if anarthas are going out now, it is blissful. As if anarthas aren't going, that's a little rough. But we should know that they will go by, as Krishna advises, by continued faith and determination. It will go. And if it works for so many others, why can't it work for us? Unless we are nonsense. But if we're not nonsense, then it most certainly will work for us also. So be a little patient and persevere. Service attitude will come more and more and more. I don't have the greatest service attitude, but I'm not all the time complaining about it. I'm like, ugh. So lazy, all the time liking to sleep. My favorite activity is sleep. Even though you may think I don't sleep a lot, but I love sleep. Mm-hmm. I wish I could do a lot more of it many times. Things are getting a little hectic, so it's hard to sleep sometimes, but I love it. Because why? I don't have service attitude. I just read a quote yesterday where Prabhupada says that the more you serve, the more you become enthusiastic. And he said, real spiritual life means when you can work hard all day and not feel tired. He said, that is real spiritual life. I was like, well, count me out. I have yet to attain real spiritual life. You wanna? Yeah, okay.
One thing is, I read an editorial in the Wall Street Journal a number of years ago, and it was about, they were asking all these leaders of these different churches, you know, What is the thing that kind of brings you down? And they say more people, new people coming in, because they're not assets, they're liabilities, and they have a tendency to mess things up. No. And then I was thinking about Bhaktisiddhanta when he said that, somebody I think said that he left early because too many kanistas coming and they're not evolving in spiritual life. So that kind of, you know, he felt like he was wasting his words.
I guess he also felt that he wasn't a Kanishtha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Devotee always thinks he's a Kanishtha Adhikari, even if he's advanced.